I want to talk to you today, going into the new year, this is what God put in my heart. Run to win. Run to win. Can you say that with me right now? Just say it. Run to win. I'm running to win. Glory to God. You know, many times I've watched television and I've watched marathon races. And when I watch a marathon race, when I look at the starting line, they are hundreds and even thousands of people that start that race. A lot of people are kind of intending to go, you know, maybe a quarter of the way or halfway. Many of them are not even intending to finish the race. They just kind of want to show up and be in the race because it's just something that everybody does at a certain period of time, and the race is kind of famous, so they show up to be in the race. Some people train, but they don't train properly. Therefore, they can actually give out long before they thought that they would be able to run. A lot of people just in their mind say, oh, I can do this. I don't need to train. I can handle this. And they think about themselves being 10 years younger and in their mind that I can do this. But ladies and gentlemen, to run a race and to finish that race, it takes a lot. And the person who wins the race and the people who finish the race, guess what? They trained and they disciplined themselves to run and finish. But every single time that you think about a marathon race, the race is what? The race is hard. It's challenging. It's demanding. It's painful. It's laborious. And in many times, you find yourself becoming very, very weary. Even the Bible tells us in our own walk to be not weary in doing well. You know, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give in. So what happens with the contestants? A lot of times, because I was an athlete and my coaches would push me because they were pushing me to have more endurance. They were pushing me to have a different skill level than I had when I first came to college. And a lot of it was very hard. A lot of it, I was like, why do I have to do all of this? And the coach would just say, I just need you to do it. There's a purpose and a reason behind it. Well, of course, afterwards, when we won ball games and we were victorious and won many districts and things of that nature, then I can look back and say, man, I'm so glad that I put all the training in to get to this point, to get to this place, and what a feeling that was. But I know this, while I was training, while I was going through exercises, while I was taking the time to shoot the ball, or even in golf to hit ball after ball after ball, on the practice range, at many times, I literally, just like the people in marathon, I had to cast down thoughts of quitting or throwing in the towel and continue to run. And I had continued to move forward, and I had to continue to press on. And one of the things that I've seen in some of the marathon races is that many times the natural elements, like the rain, the cold weather, the other things come, the wind is against them when they're running. But the winners, the people who trained, they pressed on to the finish line. And the final finish and victory was worth all of their training and discipline and self-sacrifice. But because of their training and self-discipline, they were able to press forward. Even though sometimes they tripped and fell, but guess what they did? They got back up and they got back in the race. Even some had their opponents to push them, and the opponents became their obstacles of resistance, but they got back up and they finished the race. We're in a race. We are in a race. The Bible tells us that. We are in a race. And it's a contest, a spiritual contest of great spiritual significance. But ladies and gentlemen, in this race that we're on spiritually, You and I. And we want to finish that race. We want to stand before Jesus and we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But the way we train for this race, the way we run this race, will determine whether or not we finish and receive the prize that is rewarded to us by Jesus. Listen to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24 and 27, as the Apostle Paul is speaking and he is paralleling the Christian life to a race. He said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? In other words, everybody starts out. Everybody is at the starting line. Everybody starts out, okay? But always remember this, it's not how you start the race, but it's how you finish the race, how you run it on the way. So he says, don't you realize that everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Turn to somebody next to you and say, run to win. Tell your children right now, run to win. Run the race. Run the race. And then it says this in verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. I mean, listen, if you have not read the Bible where it tells you that when we finish the race, we're going to receive a crown of righteousness. You know, these runners back in those days, they were running for a laurel wreath that would go on top of the head. But eventually, that would just fade away. Everything temporal fades away. But those things which we do for the kingdom of God, that is eternal. But here's what we're running this race for. We're running this race to win the eternal prize. Listen, when we get born again, we know that we're going to heaven. But there are rewards. The Bible talks about rewards, being rewarded by Jesus. Glory to God. That is amazing. I want as many rewards as possible. And that's contingent upon me doing His will and obeying Him and running the race the way that He wants me to run the race. So Paul said this. He said, so I run with purpose. I run with purpose. My friend, you have a destiny. God has a purpose for your life. Regardless of what has happened, regardless if you've tripped and failed, regardless if you have made some mistakes, run with purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose here is for us to finish the race, to finish our Christian life, to bring glory and honor to God in everything that we do. What does that do? That attracts attention. When a man or a woman is conditioning themselves, training themselves for endurance and resistance to run a race, and they run it and they win that race, guess what? All of a sudden, they begin to receive a reputation of, man, that's a great runner. I want to go see that runner. But see, when you and I just do the simple, obedient things of living our life for Jesus Christ, people will watch us. People will look at us. Why? Because we're different. We carry the anointing of God. We carry the very Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And when they see us living a different life, they will notice that, why do you act that way? Why do you behave that way? Why do you conduct yourself that way? Why don't you act like us? Why don't you go and do the things that we do? There's something different. But here's what they see. They see the joy. They see the peace. It's the anointing of God, the presence of God on the inside of us that literally begins to affect them in such a way that they will talk about it, okay? They will say things. They may, of course, people persecute you and do things like that, but there's others that are going to see you running your race, and guess what? They're going to want to run the same race. They're going to want to run the race you do. So he says, I run with purpose in every step. Notice that he said, I run with purpose, not in leaps and bounds, but every single step. The Bible tells us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, which is so important for us to understand. The steps of a righteous man, one step. Second step, not the leaps and bounds, are ordered by the Lord. See, the Lord is ordering your steps. So he said, I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just I'm not just up here beating the air. I'm not shadow boxing. Okay, because shadow boxing is, yeah, it's training. It's good for you, okay? But you still have to get in the ring. You can shadow box all you want to, but never get in the ring. And it's in the ring where you win the victories. Glory to God. He said, I discipline my body. Now, going into this new year, so many people are going to, oh my gracious, they're going to make so many, many of us make so many New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to have prayer time. You know, I'm going to get into church more. I'm going to decide to do some discipleship classes. I'm not going to eat the way I used to eat. I'm going to start eating good. I'm going to start training. I'm going to start getting in shape. You know, I'm going to start reading some books. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read through with Pastor Al and the on our website. We have reading through the Bible in 1 year. You know, I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to spend more time with my children. We're going to center a time around the Word of God. It is amazing so many times. I'm going to take some time off, and I'm going to spend more time, you know, with my kids. We make so many New Year's resolutions, which are great. Okay, it's great that we want to be healthy, we want to be strong, we want to get into the Word of God, we want to have our put our spiritual life first place in our life, because that's basically what everything else flows out of. And so it's wonderful to do that, but the key is, it's not that I write down these resolutions and I start them. Starting is important, but am I going to finish? And there's a reason that I'm telling you that, because there's a reason for you to be able to finish. He said, Paul said, I discipline my body. Discipline is not a bad thing. Discipline is a good thing. It's the practice of doing what is right for me, for my family, for my body, for my mind, for my spirit. So he said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Don't let your flesh have authority over you. Your flesh does not have authority over you anymore. You have all kinds of impulses, all kinds of temptations that come through this flesh, you know, but you can't allow those things to dictate your life. You can't let your five senses, your emotions, to dictate your life. When you say you're going to eat better and then you smell a waffle cone, or you somebody's eating ice cream around you, you're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have a balance in that. And I'm not saying that you do away with all of that. That's crazy. I still love to have some ice cream. I still once in a while love to eat a hamburger, but at the same time, I'm still eating good. It's those times that I will do that, but that's not a consistent, constant thing for me in the way I eat. So there's things that you can enjoy like that, but you don't make it a way of life, because it will end up destroying your body. And this body is the temple, and I want this thing to last for a long time. So he said, I discipline my body. When my flesh wants to take, my emotions want to take me into the pit of depression at times, I've had that temptation many times. I have to say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Emotions, you get back in line with the Word of God. And I pray, and God begins to help me. So I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, now listen to this, otherwise I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself be disqualified. Oh man, I do not want to be disqualified. I want to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. I want to be like Jesus in John the 17th chapter before he goes to the cross. And what did he say? He said, Father, I have finished the work that you've called me to do. I have done your will. I have brought glory and honor to your name. That was, man, that was his focus. That was his focus on his race that was set before him, to bring honor and glory to God. Think about the things that you do on a daily basis. Think about what you do at work and what you do at home. Think about what you watch with your eyes and hear with your ears. And out of that, it causes behavior and actions, because that's where thoughts come from. And ask this, are my thoughts that lead to behavior, that lead to my actions and my conduct, is that bringing glory and honor to God? Are people seeing Jesus on the inside of me? Are they seeing the Father on the inside of me? I don't want to be disqualified. So number one, we must train and discipline ourselves individually and as a team, because we are one in the body of Christ. We are Team Jesus. So what do I have to do? If I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul said, and I'm going to finish my race, and I'm going to be like an athlete there, then I need to have endurance training. You say, Pastor, what do you mean endurance training? Well, endurance training is to build a strong heart and lungs so that I can go the distance in the race and the contest, you know, and the heart here to build strong heart and lungs, and the heart here represents the heart of faith and a heart of love. The Bible says in Romans 10th chapter, verse 10, listen to this. For with the heart one believes, unto righteousness, into righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So notice that whatever is in my heart is going to come out of my mouth. But it says the heart believes. I must develop my heart. That's endurance. I must develop my heart. My heart to be strong in faith. My heart to be strong in what I believe. How do I do that? I develop that by training myself in the Word of God. And then it also says in Luke the 6th chapter, watch this, Luke the 6th chapter, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. If I put good things on the inside of my heart, that means I put the Word of God, because the Word of God is good. It's the goodness of God. When I know the goodness of God, as I read the Word of God, and I know the goodness of God, it leads me into salvation. It leads me into repentance. If I've been doing anything outside of the will of God and knowing the goodness of God, I don't want to get away or get out of the goodness of God. I want to stay in the goodness of God. How do we do that? By doing the will of Almighty God. So he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I hang around evil people, if I hang around people that doubt and unbelief, doesn't mean that you don't go to work around people that are unbelievers, that are sometimes say things out of their mouth that you wish you didn't have to hear, or do things that are contrary to the way you act and do. You're there as a light in the middle of that darkness. Yes, they need to be born again. That's our job, to be light in the middle of the darkness, not run away from the darkness, but to let our light shine in the middle of the darkness. How can they be saved? How can they know Jesus unless somebody there is acting the way Jesus wants us to act, doing the things he wants us to do, and being the light in the middle of that darkness? So out of the abundance of the heart, I've got to develop that out of my heart comes words that are honoring and glorifying God. But the other thing is this. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who want that fruit, it will manifest. Okay? So it's important that I train my heart that I'm going to win this race, and it's important that whatever comes out of my mouth, that what I'm speaking is going to have a direct effect upon my behavior. Okay, whatever's in my heart, I'm going to act. It's going to be my attitude. It's going to be the things that I do. So I want to fill my heart full of the Word of God. The lungs, endurance is training the heart and the lungs. The lungs represents our ability to breathe, which represents the breath of the Holy Spirit, filling us to overflowing with the power of God, the ability of God, and the love of God. Remember, over in the book of Ezekiel, when the Lord took Ezekiel into a valley, and the Bible says, Ezekiel said, the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Let me just tell you something. The Bible says, the psalmist said in Psalms 23, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you decide in your valley that you're going to camp out and you're not going to walk on through and you're just going to sit there and have a pity party, guess what? You're going to die right there in that valley. You've got to get up, get yourself moving. You've got to, like the athlete that trips and falls or makes a mistake, are you feeling sorry for yourself? Get up. You've got to move forward. You've got to go forward. You've got to continue to advance. You don't go in your own power. You go in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Ask the Holy Spirit to breathe in you going into this new year. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up with His presence. Just fill you up. A refilling of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And you'll see that in just a minute. And then He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And He said to me, this is the reason we need revival. So many churches are so dry right now and insignificant and powerless. We need a fresh filling, a fresh breath, breathing of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit of the living God, breathe on your church. Breathe upon us as your people, Holy Spirit of the living God. Let us not be filled with the breath of this world, but let us be filled with the breath of you, Holy Spirit of the living God. And God said, Son of man, can these bones live? And He answered, you only know. And then He said, prophesy to these bones and say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I say to you today that if you feel that you're so weary and so dry, hear the word of the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Fresh filling of the Spirit of the living God going in to this new year. And then the Lord says, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Glory to God. When the Holy Spirit is moving in a place, the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives, glory to God, there is life. Life, not dryness, but life, joy, and peace. Glory to God. Listen to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled. Be filled. And that is that word, that terminology right there is be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Holy Spirit, I thank you for fresh filling right now in Jesus' name. Get up in the morning, and especially after you have your coffee, because you're not so nice until you have your coffee. Now, you know that. That's the truth. Yeah, that's exactly right. Shame the devil and say, yes, that's the truth. So you have your coffee, and then you sit down. You put on some praise music, and you sit in the presence of God, and you say, Lord, I just worship you right now. I just praise you right now. Holy Spirit, the living God, fill me to overflowing, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of the living God. I've been doing that for so long. People ask me all the time, man, I'm 72 years old, and people ask me all the time, pastors ask me, young pastors. I had a pastor crying in his 40s, crying, and he said, where do you get this? Where does this fire, where does this passion, where is this kindled? You know, and I said, because I sit in the presence of the Lord, and I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with His presence. Fill me. Yes, He lives on the inside of me, but remember in Acts, the 4th chapter, when they were being persecuted, and the disciples went, and what did they do? They prayed, and after they got through praying, the Bible says the whole building shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Man, there are fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit. Man, I love it. I love it. And I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is just raise your hands and say, Holy Spirit, just fill me up to overflowing with your presence. Oh, manifest your presence. Fill me up right now in Jesus' name. I just feel in my heart the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit is right there with you as you're watching this. Don't get out of your religious mind. Get out of your flesh and get over into the Spirit. You know, want something so desperately that it's like if you and I were sitting on the bank and somebody asked me, said, on the bank of a pond, and you asked me and said, where does this passion come from? How do you get this passion? And I took your head and put it underwater. You know what you're going to do? you're going to flail, you're going to turn upside down, you're going to fight, you're going to do everything you can, and then I pull you up, and you're going like that. And let me just say to you, when you want that feeling that desperately, like you wanted that air right now, God will fill you to overflowing right now with His presence. His presence is there, is always there, but you can say, like, I feel like that valley of dry bones, and I say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just thank you, Father, right now. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're right there with them right now. I thank you for a fresh anointing going into this new year, a fresh anointing. Fill that house. Holy Spirit, fill them. Fill that man. Fill that woman. Fill those children right now in the name of Jesus. Fill that house with peace and joy in the name of Jesus. Just start breathing in right now. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Fresh anointing, Holy Spirit. I just breathe you in. And let me tell you, when you breathe Him in, you know what you're going to be breathing out? You're going to breathe out your praise. Oh, I just praise you and worship you. I glorify your holy name. Man, when you get in to a position like that, wow, man, it is amazing what God will do in this day and time we're living in. I'm telling you, you need that as much as anything. So Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 18 says this, speaking to one another, be filled. Don't be drunk with wine. Everybody, so many people right now, drugs, wine, all kinds of things, hopelessness, despair, depression, everything. Not me. I'm drinking the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Yes, amen. And the prophet Joel is the bartender. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters and your handmaidens, glory to God. And they will prophesy, and the old men will dream dreams, and you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, glory to God. I just feel the presence. I just want to start running right now. Anyway, here we go. So, he says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. It is amazing how we speak to one another in putting one another down, condemnation, almost teetering on hatred, the way we talk, the way we answer people, the way we do things. Here he says this, speaking to one another. That means this is in my heart. Speaking to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things, not the bad things, but thank God, giving thanks to God. He's going to turn my bad thing around. Glory to God. And he said, all thanks to God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So you must have endurance training. This is all in my notes, by the way. It'll be up on the website. Then there's resistance training. What is resistance training? Resistance training is a form of physical activity that is designed to improve the muscular fitness by exercising a muscle or a muscle group against external resistance. Ladies and gentlemen, going into the new year, the one thing we need to understand is that we need to develop our faith muscles, and we need to maintain our exercises of faith and prayer as we go into this new year. Matter of fact, in Philippians, the second chapter, it says, work out your own salvation. Work it out. How do I work it out? It's not just joining. You don't just go work out by joining a health club. You have to go, you join, but you go there and you work out. You have to do the training. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Jesus doesn't read the Word of God to you. You have to read the Word of God. You are responsible for developing your faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're hearing me right now, and your faith is growing. Your faith is taking root. There is substance in that faith as I preach and teach you the Word of Almighty God. So here's what the Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we know that the Bible says in John 1, the first verse there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was manifested and made flesh, it says in verse 14. There. And so Jesus was the Word of God. So you could actually read this like this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Word of God and in the power of His might. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Here's the reason you have resistance training. Here's the reason that you build your faith muscles. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against, listen to this, principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's the reason you need to have spiritual resistance training. In other words, you're building your muscles so when the devil comes, you can resist him. You can stand against him. When the evil day shows up and things happen, you're strong. You got your spiritual muscles. You're there by faith. You're not giving up. You're not giving in. You're not quitting the race. You're not turning around away as a coward and running away. No, you're not doing that. You're standing strong. You're fighting the fight of faith. You're waging a good warfare. I know it gets tiresome. It's like running the marathon. It's like training for a race. I know it's weary. I know sometimes there is pain and things are painful. But I'm telling you, when you've done all to stand, bless God, keep right on standing. Don't stop. No matter what the devil does, no matter what the devil tries to say, you put him back in his place. Carve him up with a sword of the Spirit, just like you carve Thanksgiving turkey. Glory to God. Use the Word of God. Build your muscles. Listen, if you don't build your spiritual faith muscles, then the devil, when he comes to test it, I'm telling you, you're just going to fall away. You don't want to fall away in the time of your testing. You don't want to faint in the day of adversity. People, there are too many people, even in your own family, needs to see you be strong and stand on the Word of God and continue to move forward. And not only that, remember we said we're a team? Man, if things are happening in your life, don't give up, don't give in. Don't forget, you can go right up there on our website and put in a prayer request. It goes to our intercessors so that you have people standing with you the whole time. So he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You don't know when that day is coming, but I can tell you right now, we're looking around us and we're seeing some evil days, okay? And the Bible actually tells us that it's become more evil as we move toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But having all done to stand. So you have to build your spiritual muscles. And here's another way we do this. In Jude, the first chapter, verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. Why? You want to have endurance. You want to persevere. You want to run the race. You want to finish the race. Building yourselves up on what? Your most holy faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And then it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That means praying in other tongues. Praying in the Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, please. And see that when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying in tongues, it's like a spiritual dynamo. It's a battery recharger. And the Bible says it builds you up. There's strength there. Glory to God. I've taught our children that for years and years, and I teach our congregation that. Why do you think the devil fights so much? Theologians who don't know really nothing, who fight the speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, say, oh, it's passed away. Well, if it's passed away, then the Holy Spirit's passed away. If the Holy Spirit's passed away, we're all in a heap of trouble. You know, but Holy Spirit has not passed away. That's the reason there is no amen at the book of Acts. Because it's a continuation. It was not the Acts of the Apostles. It was the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles and through the disciples. And the Holy Spirit is still empowering us today. Glory to God. You can do what I did on my bedroom floor. Just get down and just say, Father, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if it's something I need and it is for me to for me today, I ask you, baptize me the Holy Spirit right now with your power. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And the next thing I know, as I was sitting there on my bedroom floor, it was just the presence of God. It was like a heat that came on top of me. That's what I experienced. Your experience may be different, but all of a sudden, I'm worshiping God, and the next thing I know, that's not of the devil. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, if that was the devil, I would have heard it in every bar that I used to go in before I got saved. That was not. The first time I ever heard it was in church. Glory to God. And then I got inquisitive and I want to know, what was that? And they told me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went home and I said, God, if that's me. And he gave it to me. And I'm like Apostle Paul. I pray in tongues more than you all. Glory to God. Even the Apostle Paul said, forbid not to pray in tongues. That was to a Gentile church. Glory to God. It hasn't passed away. Why do you allow religious folks who don't believe nothing, never experienced nothing, influence you in the way you act as a Christian? You need to get out of that, and you need to get into the power of God and just worship and get around people that are on fire for God. Glory to God. He said, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Very important. So the Bible says in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 8, it says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like, he's not the roaring lion, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who is he looking for? He's looking for the same way COVID. What is COVID looking for? COVID's looking for the weak, the infirmed. That's what COVID has been designed for, to go after certain people. Like a lioness when they are hunting. When I was in Africa, I saw this. They're looking for the weak ones in the herd. And they single them out because they know that they have no endurance. They know they have no stamina. They know they won't last. They'll give up easily. And that's exactly what happens when the devil comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what does the Bible say? Listen to me very carefully. The Bible says resist him. You don't resist him in your own power and strength. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you. As you're going into this new year, you resist that condemnation the devil's putting in your mind. You resist those thoughts and those lies that the devil's putting in your mind that does not line up with the Word of God. Resist him. Listen to this. Steadfast in faith. But if you're not developing your own personal training in the Word of God and in prayer, listen, you're going to fall away. You're not going to stand fast. You'll fall away. You'll give up. You'll give in quickly. Mark the 4th chapter says that. Everybody receives the Word with joy, right? People, yay, like that. But when testing comes, they fall away quickly, because they have no root. You're developing the root right now. It says, resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings, you're not the only person that's going through trials and tribulations and testing. The same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. Now listen to this. So therefore, what does that say? Every race has opponents and oppositions. You're not just going to breeze through until you get to heaven. There's going to be opponents. There's going to be opposition. And it's going to grow in these last days. And that's where you've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And by the way, your opponents are determined to beat you. They're determined to stop you from winning the race. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 20, chapter verse 22 and 24. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. I don't know what may come up in the next year. I don't know what we may see, but I know this, I'm bound in the Spirit that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to get into to the pit of despair and depression. I'm going to arise, glory to God, and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to go forward, and if I trip and fall, I'm going to get back up, and praise God, I got Christian friends and team members are going to help me to get back up and keep going on my race. Encourage encourage me, edify me, be my cheerleaders, just like I'm being your cheerleader. He said, Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. But listen to this, except the Holy Spirit testifies that in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Would you quit? I mean, if I stood up and prophesied to you right now and said, hey, by the way, let me just tell you what's ahead of you in the new year, chains and tribulations, would you stop? Would you give up? Would you say, oh, no, I don't want any of that? Listen to what Paul said. But none of these things move me. Let me ask this. What is moving you right now? The Spirit of the living God, the Word of God, the purpose and the cause and the destiny that you have in this life for the kingdom of God, to receive those rewards. He said, none of these things that I face, none of these things that I do, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Let me ask you this. Are we going to finish? Are you going to finish? Are we here at Covenant Love, the body of Christ, are we going to finish this race? Are we going to give up and give in? No, we're not. We are not. Say that with me. We are running to win. We will not give up in any way, shape, or form. Going into this new year, glory to God, we are going to put the Word of God, we're going to put the glory and the honor of God, the name of Jesus, first place in our lives. We're going to live to bring honor and glory to His name. We're going to do the works of Jesus. We're going to carry out the Great Commission. So many people going in the new year and say, what new thing is God doing? Hey, we haven't got the old thing completed yet. Going into all the world. Listen, Jesus said over and over again, Matthew 24, He said, you need endurance to finish. You need endurance to finish. Build your life. Train. Get into the Word of God. Get back into church. Build it in your children. Your children are going to face so many things in this lifetime. And right now, we work, we do these things, but you better build their lives and you better build your family like Noah built an ark for the saving of his family. Listen, if you're viewing me right now and you've never received Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, I'm telling you, this whole thing is winding down. We're in the last days of the last days. Yes, we are. The Bible tells us that. You can read it in Matthew 24. You can read it in Luke 21. You can look at what Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. It's right there. We are living in these days. And you need to know that you're getting ready to face eternity. You're getting ready to face the Lord Jesus Christ one day, or God, either one. And are you ready? Is your life right? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to step into that place? But it's more than just stepping into eternity or going to heaven. It is right now living my life for the purpose that God created me. That's the reason we have a local church, is to disciple you and to teach you like we're doing right now. And listen, if you've never received Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, today is the day. The Bible says day is day of salvation. And if you have been living in sin, and you knew the Lord one time, but you've backslidden, it is time to get back into the race. Okay? Yeah, you took a different path, but get back on the right path. Okay? You say, Pastor, how to do that? Ask God to forgive you of your sins. He's faithful and just to do that. And then let's get back. Let's get back to where you were. Fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Pray this with me. Father God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe in my heart that He died for me and you raised Him from the dead. I repent of all my sin and I ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Today, I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. Praise God. And I just pray, Father, fill them right now with the Holy Spirit and power in Jesus' name. My friend, if you prayed that with us, there's a I got saved, or even if you just rededicated your life, text that to me. I want to know. Amen. I want you to remember, I'm here to teach you. Pastor Cameron is here to teach you. Our pastors are here to teach you. Listen, as we go into this new year, don't forget, we are going to have new discipleship classes. We're going to do the CL talks on Wednesday nights. We've got Good Morning CL that takes place. Pray and praise. Fill your heart and fill your life with these things instead of filling it with all the junk that's on TV. Amen. Fill it up there. And I'm not saying just do away with it. I'm just saying use a balance and use wisdom in everything that you do. And as we go into this new year and as we go into our fast, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to see God do some incredible things. We are releasing revival into the church, reformation into our nation. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year, everybody. And we'll see you either here or in church, either one. God bless you.